Morrow studied me for a moment. He'd been asked this question in interviews many times before and had always ignored it. I don't know why he decided to tell me. Maybe he'd been waiting all these years to tell someone. It was because of Kira, my wife. He paused a moment, then cleared his throat and continued. Like me, he'd been in love with her since high school. Of course, he never had the courage to act on it, so she never knew how he felt about her, and neither did I. He didn't tell me about it until the last time I spoke to him, right before he died. Even then, it was hard for him to communicate with me. Jim was never very good with people or with expressing his emotions. I nodded silently and waited for him to continue. Even after Kira and I got engaged, I think Jim still harbored some fantasy of stealing her away from me. But once we got married, he abandoned that notion. He told me he'd stopped speaking to me because of the overwhelming jealousy he felt. Kira was the only woman he ever loved. Morrow's voice caught in his throat. I can understand why Jim felt that way. Kira was very special. It was impossible not to fall in love with her. He smiled at me. You know what it's like to meet someone like that, don't you? I do, I said. Then, when I realized he had no more to say on the subject, I said, Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Thank you for telling me all of that. You're quite welcome, he said. Then he walked over to his immersion bay and the door irised open. Inside, I could see that his rig had been modified to include several strange components, including an Oasis console modified to look like a vintage Commodore 64. He glanced back at me. Good luck, Parzival. You're going to need it. What are you going to do? I asked, during the fight. Sit back and watch, of course, he said. This looks to be the most epic battle in video game history. He grinned at me one last time, then stepped through the door and was gone, leaving me alone in the dimly lit hallway. I spent a few minutes thinking about everything Morrow had told me. Then I walked over to my own immersion bay and stepped inside. It was a small spherical room. A gleaming haptic chair was suspended on a jointed hydraulic arm attached to the ceiling. There was no omnidirectional treadmill because the room itself served that function. While you were logged in, you could walk or run in any direction, and the sphere would rotate around and beneath you, preventing you from ever touching the wall. It was like being inside a giant hamster ball. I climbed into the chair and felt it adjust to fit the contours of my body. A robotic arm extended from the chair and slipped a brand new Oculus visor onto my face. It, too, adjusted so that it fit perfectly. The visor scanned my retinas, and the system prompted me to speak my new passphrase, Reindeer Flotilla SeaTech Astronomy. I took a deep breath as the system logged me in.